Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the second edition of Menschmaking, the show about Jewish values to help create mensches, people of fine character in this world. I want to thank again the staff of Radio Laurier, Britt, Lauren, and Dylan, and Noah, everybody who's helping put the show together, and frankly, teach me what I'm doing, because we're still figuring this all out. What we want to talk about today is a phenomenon that we've seen grow more and more pervasive in society, the phenomenon of comparing yourself to other people, also known as browsing through Instagram, wondering why you're not as beautiful or as wealthy or as handsome or as smart and talented as everybody else you see. In the Jewish tradition, we have a teaching that teaches us as follows. We are taught that who is truly wealthy? Someone who is satisfied and happy with what they already have. And the idea being that wealth is a state of mind that's determined by your contentment and your satisfaction with everything else you have going on in your life. To the degree that you're satisfied with the amount of money in your bank account, you will be happy. To the degree that you're unsatisfied, dissatisfied, miserable, you'll be unhappy. And it's not really about the amount of dollars in the account. There are millionaires who are miserable. There are people who are dirt poor and are happy. It's a question of your own determination of satisfaction and contentment. And if you're satisfied and happy with what you have, you will be wealthy. You will feel like you have all you need. The luckiest, richest person in the world. Along those lines, the reverse is also true. That someone who is consistently dissatisfied with what they have and always comparing themselves to other people, looking around them and saying, I wish I was like that person. How come I don't have what they have? And even if it's not hardcore jealousy, it's just, you know, I'm not happy with what I have. I wish I was more like that person. It's a very poisonous attitude that leads to unhappiness and dissatisfaction with life and real poverty, poverty of the mind. Poverty is also a state of mind, aside from being the bank account. You know, there's actually studies that have shown, I can't quote the study offhand, but money only increases happiness up to a certain level. It's basically that a lack of money causes you to be miserable if you're really, really poor. But you only get out of that misery to a certain degree with more money. And once you reach that plateau, an extra $50,000, an extra $20,000, an extra $1,000 doesn't really make much of a difference because it's not critical to your happiness. So we have a special guest today doing his master's and PhD in the future in psychology, currently rewriting all the psychology textbooks at Laurier and giving professors a run for their money. Some of you may know him as Robert. Some of you may know him as Plax8560. We just call him Bobby. Bobby Plax with us in the studio today. And I want to ask Bobby for his thoughts to chime in on this with us.
Thanks for having me, Rabbi.
Well, you know, skin. Woo, woo.
It's always a pleasure, you know.
Very pleasure. Pleasure.
When I think about this stuff, this comparative attitude, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily always negative, right? Is it always negative?
Why?
Well, I mean, let's look at it this way, right? Like, you need to compare yourself to something to be better, because otherwise, if you're just comparing yourself to some sort of status quo, you're never going to get anywhere. So, I mean, I guess in a sense.
Do you?
Well, I mean, I don't know, like, if you want to be, like, I don't know, Bill, like, everyone says, like, they want to be the next Bill Gates, right? But now it's, like, you want to be the next Jeff Bezos or whatever, right? And it constantly raises this bar.
Right.
And I feel like that's an important factor. And, yeah, like, I feel like you shouldn't compare yourself in the sense that, like, in a negative sense, but in, like, a positive sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about comparing yourself just to yourself? Why don't you just challenge yourself to be the best self that you can be and let that be your benchmark? Why do you have to look outside yourself for, you know, to find that next level, that next bar to reach for?
Well, I feel like some people are just not good at, I want to say they're not good at that. Like, I personally measuring yourself to yourself is a difficult concept. And I don't think I certainly don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you do that? How do you compare yourself to yourself?
I guess it starts with self-awareness. You have to know yourself and know what you're capable of, right? can't expect of yourself things that are completely out of your range, out of your league. You know, if I expect myself to become an opera singer, I'm going to be very disappointed. And so will everyone who listens to me.
Well, I don't know. I think you have a pretty nice voice, Rabbi.
Yes, sweetheart. Thank you so much.
You know, you
but you have good. To know. But you have to know who you are. You have to know what you're capable of. And you can't just sit there and say, I want to be like everybody else. That's never going to work. But I don't think it's such rocket science. I think that if people took some time to reflect and got to know themselves a little bit better and were honest with themselves and weren't trying to delude themselves into thinking they're somebody they're not, they would do a very fine job at discovering who they are, who they can be. And that's really the only benchmark you should hold yourself to is, am I doing my best? Not am I being perfect? Not am I being like everybody else? It's just knowing what I'm capable of. Did I put in a good day of work today? Did I give it my best shot? You know, after you come back from a presentation or a lecture, whatever it is that you do, you know whether you did your best work or you just were, you know, cruising along.
But
no?
Well, no, I agree with you, and I think that's fundamental, but I think the way we shape ourselves or the way we know ourselves is through, you know, knowing others,
mm-hmm.
right? And I feel like that's what not maybe what society has come down to, but like what you mentioned with social media, you know, we follow the people who we think we are. We look at the people who we emulate and want to be, right? And mm-hmm. as a result, we kind of, through this kind of like forward feed thinking of like trying to be somebody, that's how we perceive ourselves. It's like trying to be this person, like
role models.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I feel like that kind of conflates thinking about who you are, because it's in now maybe it's not pure. Now maybe there is no purity in your own identity.
Hmm. So you think role models are a good thing or a bad thing? We're not sure. It's interesting.
I
go both ways.
I don't necessarily. I think they are a good thing, but it's just. I think now that you're right, comparisons are terrible, especially like I know for myself, right? When you get. You get a good mark, or you think what it's a good mark, and you're kind of happy with it, right? And mm-hmm. then you find out the person next to you got like a way better mark, and you're like, well, mm-hmm. what's this about?
Right.
Right, and you feel a little sad.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you're saying that we have to be very careful about our role models then. Maybe we shouldn't reject role models out of hand. And maybe we should modify our, instead of comparing ourselves to just our peers, who are just basically our equals, and don't offer us a great bar to shoot for necessarily, right? You want to compare yourself to somebody who's already achieved great success, like you said, you know, in business at least, Jeff Bezos has certainly achieved business success. So if you want to compare yourself to somebody like that, you have to do that also, but with a grain of salt, kind of to temper it and not have it backfire. Like if you expect to be Jeff Bezos tomorrow, you're going to be disappointed. You have to have sort of this role model for the long-term vision, but not take it too seriously to crush your own vision, right? To crush your own hopes.
Oh man, for sure. I think you're onto something, Rabbi. I think
we're getting there.
You know,
we're getting there.
Because like oftentimes, like people try things, and this is like the mode that we live in with for immediate gratification, right? We want that. We want to be shredded. You know, you've seen these. I'm sure you've seen these ads where it's like, you know, get 5-minute abs. Right now, tomorrow, you'll have a beach body, right? But that's what people want. But then they try that program and all of a sudden nothing, right? Because nothing mm-hmm. is that instant. People get, their hopes get shattered because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's the mentality of the comparison.
Right. So to summarize, there's a comparison that is unhealthy. There's a comparison, which is not really a comparison, it's just setting yourself role models. It's a different thing. It's not exactly comparing yourself, right? You know that you're not Jeff Bezos.
It's aspiring.
You're not comparing, but you're aspiring. There we go. They're aspirational characters. You set yourself in the map of your future. These are the people I could dream of being one day. So it's funny because the Talmud also says, the Talmud being the repository of most of Jewish law and wisdom and morality, and there's a teaching in the Talmud that says that the jealousy of scholars increases wisdom. In other words, scholars being jealous, quote unquote, of each other's wisdom. What is that? What is the net effect of that? If I'm jealous of that scholar and I want to be more like him, what do I have to do? I have to become more wise. I have to educate myself more. I have to go study more. So the jealousy of scholars increases wisdom, which means that there is sometimes maybe a positive side benefit, a positive spin on the comparison phenomenon. It's not all bad. Depends how you do it. And if you compare yourself to somebody that has achieved something noble, something good, mm-hmm. and you say, I want to be like that person, that's actually great. You want to be dissatisfied with your own morality. You want to be dissatisfied with your own spirituality. Why? Because that way you'll grow. Right? That's how you grow. You don't grow from being satisfied. You stay put. So in anything that's really vital and important and meaningful in life, it's good to be at least mildly dissatisfied. And that way you'll grow. Again, the jealousy of scholars increases wisdom. That's the idea. So yeah, go ahead.
So you want to be dissatisfied, then?
Mildly.
Mildly.
The right balance. I was reading a quote. One of the early leaders of Israel society said that the biggest contribution Jews have made to the world is our dissatisfaction. We've taught the world how to be dissatisfied. It's kind of this joke in Jewish culture that Jews are always complaining, never happy.
It's true.
But there's a positive spin to that, because if you're dissatisfied, you're going to innovate. If you're dissatisfied, you're going to grow. You're not going to stay put, because things aren't great. So something has to change. So we have to grow, to get better, to improve. The trick is to always find that right balance of being just the right amount of dissatisfied to keep moving without going all the way into, you know, depression and despair.
See, that is like the philosophical essence of Jerry Seinfeld's comedy, or Larry David's comedy. You're never satisfied. There's always something to complain about.
There you go.
But...
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. No. Continue.
I was just gonna say maybe we'll just play a song now, and there's this this great song, say that takes the word of the words of the Talmud that speak about everything being for the best. I'm not sure how that ties into this conversation. I'm sure we can figure out a connection, but let's give it a shot. Let's play the song for you all. And we're back. Thank you for joining us again on the Menschmaking program on Radio Laurier. Now, we were talking about being dissatisfied with your life because you compare yourself to other people, and how sometimes that's a recipe for disaster, while the other times, if you do it in the right way, while setting yourself role models and not really comparing yourself to them, but just aspiring to be like them, that can be a good thing. So like everything else in life, it's a question of balance and proportion and moderation. One thing that I'm very satisfied about in my life, personally, is my five children who are joining us today in the studio. All five of the Goldman kids, Mendel, Beryl, Yisrael, Chayla, and Zalman, are here in the studio today. Give yourselves a round of applause, guys. Thank you for coming into Radio Laurier to join us today on the Menschmaking program.
No problem.
So we're gonna ask the kids if they have anything to say on this topic. What do you guys think is a way that people can succeed in Ezeo Asher Hasameach Bechalkai, in being happy with what they have and not complaining, not being miserable, and not looking at what everybody else has and wishing you had it too? How do we do that? Beryl, you want to go?
I don't really have an answer yet. You can go to the next one.
All right. Mendel, you want to say something? Go ahead.
First of all,
Salman, not your turn.
Shouldn't ask people to... Yeah, for them, everything that they want. Because that's, like, not being happy mm-hmm. with what you have. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have a certain amount of things that the people that got for you could afford that amount of stuff, you should be happy with that amount of stuff and be mm-hmm. thankful to the people that got it for you.
Mm-hmm. Like your parents?
Yeah.
Nice.
What did
I like
you get
that.
For me?
Okay. Zalman, you want to say something? What do you say, Zalman? Are you happy with what you have? No. How about you, Kyla? You want to say something? Anything you want to say?
No.
Are you happy with all the toys that you have, or you wish you had more?
No. More princess dollies.
More princess dollies?
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. You don't need more than one.
Princess. How many princess dollies do you have already?
Dollies.
Only one? You need another one?
Oh, boy.
Kyla's not that happy yet. Okay. How about Stro? Are you satisfied with the things that you have, or you want to have more? You're satisfied?
Well, there's some stuff that we could share, like with the families.
Okay, like what?
Like games in the living room.
Okay. So you're basically pretty satisfied with the things that we have, huh?
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. Does anybody ever hear of somebody being very jealous? You ever heard of such a thing, of kids being jealous of each other?
Yeah.
Ever happened? Yeah, it happens. It's pretty common, I think, that people do that. People feel that way a lot.
Like me.
Like everybody. It's very natural to feel that way. It's not an evil thing to feel that way. It's just that we're trying to make ourselves into a mensch. We're trying to make ourselves into better people. And to work on being a better person means that you take what you have naturally and you improve on that. You don't just say, well, this is who I am naturally, so that's how it's going to be forever. But it's very natural for people to feel jealous and to want to have what other people have. Everybody wants to have nice things. Everybody thinks that will make them happy and they will feel comfortable and have pleasure from that. And to a certain degree, it's true. But we just want to make sure it doesn't become a disastrous, destructive force in life. And we have to learn how to become more and more happy and satisfied with the things we have already and not be so upset if we don't have what other people have. That's all. So, as we move on to the next segment, Ask the Rabbi. Ask the Rabbi is a format for anyone and everyone to send the rabbi in some questions. You can tweet your question to @JewishWaterloo, and we will read your question on the air, minus your name if you like, and I'll do my best to shed some Jewish wisdom on your question. This week, I got a question asking me if I believe that people can change. A student asked me, Rabbi, do you believe it's possible for people to change? Can a leopard change its spots? And I told her, it depends what you mean by change. My answer is, change, on a deep level, deep core level, you are who you are for the most part. An introvert is usually going to remain an introvert. A party animal is usually going to remain a party animal. Personalities don't change all that much over time. But you do become wiser, and you can evolve into a better version of who you are. You can evolve into a more compassionate, more sensitive introvert, or a more attentive and kind party animal, and so on and so forth. You can develop additional levels of maturity within the confines of your personality that isn't going to change that much. And more than that, you can also change your behavior much more easily than change your personality. And ultimately, our life is all about how we behave. It's not really about what you feel inside necessarily. It's about what you put out to the world, how you behave, how you conduct yourself. That's really what makes the biggest impact in your life and in people's lives around you. And the behavior aspect is something you can always control and change. You can always change what you do. You can always change what you say. You can even change what you think. If you love pizza, it's very difficult to turn that off and say, I wake up one morning and from now on, I don't love pizza anymore. But it's not that difficult to say, even though I love pizza, I'm not going to eat the pizza. Or even though I love pizza, I'm not going to talk about the pizza. Or even though I love pizza, I'm not going to think about the pizza. These are steps that everybody can take. So the question is, can people change? My answer is a qualified yes, because you can evolve within the context of your existing personality. You can mature, even though that might not be, bona fide change from one extreme to another, but it's definitely growth. And you can certainly change your behavior. And that's really what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, the question that I have really is, well, how does this change come about? Because I believe thoroughly that everyone can change, right? Mm-hmm. But what mediates that? Where does that influence come from? Is that an external influence? And if so, well then, how does that come about? Like, what would propel somebody to change?
Sure. Well, there are forms of change. There are forms of change that are driven by the outside. Hey, Zalman. We have lots of commentary from Zalman today. There are changes that are driven by the outside, and that's legitimate. And sometimes that's what happens. And sometimes that's what's necessary. And sometimes that's the only thing that gets you out of bed. But then there's change that's driven from the inside. It's usually much more longer lasting, much more permanent and real. And I think you have to take both. You know, if you're being motivated by an external force to change and grow, run with it. And if you happen to be at a point in life where you're being motivated internally and self-driven to change, great, run with that. But ultimately, the process of becoming a better person is not always going to be the same. It's not always going to be on the same wavelength every day of the year, of the week, and every month of the year. You're a human being, you fluctuate, you have moods. things come and go. Sometimes you're really on the ball and you're really controlling yourself and being self-disciplined and organized. And sometimes you need a kick in the pants from the outside. But whatever it takes, don't lose sight of the goal. The goal is to become better every day. The goal is to reflect and try to improve every single day. And whatever it takes to get you there is what we should do. We shouldn't be picky.
Well, like, I feel like that really ties into, like, our earlier segment, right, which is the social comparison, right? And I feel like that might be that external source, you know, which is, like, where you can see somebody who is doing maybe better than you in a certain area, right? And mm-hmm. you're like, well, maybe I can become that person and even surpass them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that could be pretty good, right? Because as you mentioned that quote, the rabbis and the wise ones.
Right. That's good for them to be jealous.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Right.
Right.
So if you don't feel that dissatisfaction with your situation, if you don't feel that kind of you're plagued with mediocrity, mm-hmm. then I feel like you can't change your spots. But as soon as you realize, you're like, hey man, like I actually can contribute a lot more to this world, but I'm dissatisfied with my current state. Then you're like, guess what? These spots are coming off.
Right. Right. There is definitely a time for that. I think that overall, a person has to find the balance in terms of the balance of time they put onto these things. I think that a minimal amount of time should be spent feeling that sense of jealousy that I'm not good enough and I need to grow, I need to change. You can't be thinking that all the time. You're going to beat yourself into the ground, right? That's sure. A little time of a moment of reflection once a week, once a month, whatever it is that you carve out your personal introspection time. You can't be introspecting 24/7, right? You got to get to work. There's things you got to do. And that level of introspection and really self-criticism is not conducive to getting things done, to being productive, to being a happy human being and living your life. It's only for certain times. And then the rest of the time, you have to shut it down. And if a thought comes into your head, you got to like table it and say, look, man, Thursday night or Wednesday morning, whatever it is, that's when we're going to think about this stuff, not now. Because now we have stuff to do. Now we have to work on, you know, being a good person in the world, being a mensch, and dealing with my responsibilities, carrying out my duties in this world. And I don't have time for introspection and reflection. And that way you're able to, you know, stay happy and, you know, have that kind of positive self-concept going forward into your work and save the reflection for a short amount of time. That does it pretty much for our show for today. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Mendel and Beryl, Yisrael, Chayla, and Zalman coming into the studio. Very special thank you to Bobby for always being there to reflect together with me.
I'm a mirror.
A mirror. And for all your help in getting the show off the road. We really appreciate it. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next week.
The radio.